All right, 3:34, Carton Show, Big Mac. That's Chris McMonagle. Obviously, the Giants are still making news as the shockwaves of John Harbaugh coming here are still keeping Giant fans very, very happy. Pat Leonard is as good as it gets when it comes to covering not just the Giants, but the NFL. Daily News, I think, still, right?
That's right, Chris.
Still an old-school paper guy. You like that? Anyway, good to have you here. Good to see you, pal. How have you been?
No, doing very well. Thanks for having me into studio.
Yeah, the voice of record when it comes to what's going on with the New York Giants. And there's a lot of very good reporters. I love the fact you guys are battling right now.
Yeah.
Because if I could get involved in other people's fights, that's like my sweet spot. Yeah.
Well, Craig, the interesting part of that is one of many things I've heard is John Harbaugh has already noticed that, right?
Oh, is that
he's
right?
Coming from Baltimore. He's coming to New York.
Yeah.
It's obviously a different beast.
Right.
And even during his courtship, right, it was pretty loud.
Right.
And some of it came from his side, but a lot of it didn't.
Right.
And so I think one thing he's determined, like the most interesting and important thing for the Giants right now is they have a leader of men now pulling the whole building in the right direction, in the same direction.
Right.
And he's going to give them some credibility. But along with that means getting his hands around the message. Right. And the message has to do with leaks. Where is it coming from?
So let me stop
you
there.
My people here?
You put something out, I think it was on Twitter today, this morning, which is why I had the guys reach out to you.
I was fired up.
That, yeah, and it seemed like you were pissed on a lot of levels. We'll get to all of them. That I never recognized, I guess I should have, that the Giants notoriously were a leaky ship from a content standpoint.
Right.
Like the Giants, someone or some people in the organization were very quick to run to their particular favorite reporter or outlet to tell, like, you know, state secrets. That was happening, huh?
Yeah, well, and that happens everywhere. It's just there are instances where the truth, there's nothing wrong with hiding from the truth. And I think in the Giants case, credit to the ownership and the Mara family recognizing we need to do something someone else's way. We can't do it our way anymore. And I think in the last several years, especially most recently, last three, Joe Shambian, GM, the current culture has been focusing so much on the messaging. It's almost like you're not focused enough on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And what I liked about Harbaugh's presser and what I like about his hiring and what I like about the Giants prioritizing him is when he stood there at the podium and he said to me, my question, this building's going to be about football, football, football. And he looked down at Joe Shane and said, if there's guys in here who don't like football, Joe, we might as well tell them they should go play somewhere else. That, to me, is the shift that's happening here and the shift that needed to happen. Get away from talking about it.
Right.
Let's get back to doing it.
So, look, there's been, you know, what, five head coaches since Coughlin, four head coaches since Coughlin, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Is that that's an organizational problem as opposed to specific a Dable problem, a McAdoo problem, a Judge problem.
Right.
That's an organizational thing.
100%, yes. And the changes that you've seen John Harbaugh already make,
right,
and he's not done, are changes that other coaches and other people who have come through this building have complained about and said, we need this person moved. I'd rather have my person here.
Sure.
And they've been told no, right? And that comes from above them. And so there's a lot of people today, yesterday, and even during this process who were telling me early on in Harbaugh's courtship saying he's not going to show up and be okay with the status quo.
Right.
And what they're watching right now today is saying, this person reassigned, this person out of here. Yes, this is what we and others have been saying is in the way organizationally,
right,
of the Giants taking the next
Giants,
step forward.
There's two ways. So the Giants have been very loyal to a lot of people who predate John Mara as the Mara that's running the franchise. Predate people. They go all the way back to, you know, Ernie Accorsi or George Young, whoever it might be. So you want to give them credit for loyalty and that people can go work for the Giants and consider a 25-year career in retirement, but that also can get stale. And when you go 12 years and play the type of football that you play, while it's not the secretary's fault, it's certainly not Ronnie Barnes' fault, who's been the head trainer since 1970-something, the reality is that they represent an old guard way of doing it, which just isn't working right now. Mm-hmm. Now, Ronnie's going to still be the head trainer. They're going to bring a new trainer in under him.
He's going to oversee medical.
So I think they backtracked on that a little bit because it looks like they took some heat for that.
So the reality is, as you said, he's very revered, very important to the Mara family. He will technically still oversee medical services. I'm told, though, he's out of it, right? Like
they're going to be respectful to him, but he's no longer the guy.
Correct. He was the / head athletic trainer. He is no longer going to be the head athletic trainer.
Let me ask you the obvious question. Chris will jump in here as well.
Yeah.
Give us, based on, you're talking with John and obviously the people that you're tight with in the organization, walk us through I guess, what was the more important sale part for John to want the job? The history of the Giants organization, the Maurer, Wellington Maurer, all that? Or did it just come down to his feeling that they've got a real quarterback? Both or is it something else?
No, both of those are huge selling points. I think the Giants' desperation showed Harbaugh that this is the best of both worlds. I get a flagship franchise that means a lot to him.
Sure.
Like the reason the Green Bay Packers would have been a threat to the Giants,
sure,
and the biggest threat if LaFleur had been fired was because coaching the Green Bay Packers means a lot to John. It means a lot to his dad, right? The history of the game means a lot to him. Mm-hmm. So the Giants being the New York Football Giants, that wasn't just all talk by him. But certainly, and I'm glad you mentioned Jackson Dart, without the quarterback and not just his physical ability, but as I started out by saying, this is a leader of men who, if nothing else, what he is known for doing best is pulling everybody in the same direction.
Right,
if you're not
right.
a part of the team, you're not on the team. And that's in the building and that's on the roster. What he gathered from that conversation with Jackson Dart wasn't just that he's coachable and all that. It was that he's willing to get the same message across in the locker room when John's not in the room that John would be doing if he was delivering a team right. speech himself.
Extension of the head coach.
Extension
exactly.
of the head coach.
Correct.
Yeah. And what we were talking about before, about now obviously we've seen somewhat of a purge here, right? We got defensive coaches all being told that they might not have their job anymore.
Right.
But specifically...
For good reason, yeah.
Right, for good reason. The defense was terrible, but specifically some of the, like the Kevin Abrams we haven't mentioned yet
mm-hmm.
as assistant GM. I always got the impression that the holdup over the weekend, which was weird, like to have this, the deal was announced and then they had this long drawn out stretch of finalizing the deal. And it's kind of now been portrayed as more of like the direct, you know, who he reports to as opposed to Joe Shane. Do you think this was a lot of the holdup? That his ability to take control and have tentacles in almost every aspect of the organization and be able to make decisions like this on guys who've been connected to the organization for 30 years, 25 years. Was that as important as whether or not he directly reports to the owner, which I always thought was kind of like going to happen?
Yeah, it got spun to the direct report thing. It was more about, so twofold. One, when they're in the draft room, John Harbaugh is going to want to have some tough conversations, and if he wants a player, he wanted to get his guy. That's mm-hmm. one.
One.
The other final say part of it is this.
Right.
It was John Harbaugh, just like any good coach, and he wasn't the only candidate doing this when he was interviewing with the Giants. He was calling around saying, what do I have to know? Here's somebody I want to bring to the training room. Here's someone I want to bring to the strength room. Who runs that now? Are they untouchable? If I can move them, how can I move them? Do I have to be delicate about it? Can I just make the change? Right? And gauging all of that, looking at the delicate nature of it internally, but for the Giants, for signing the contract, for committing to being their head coach, it couldn't be a, we'll figure this out later when you
right.
get here. We love you, John. You're a great coach. Yeah. It had to be, no. Right. And when Joe Shane said it's just on a piece of paper,
right.
that was important. The confirmation there is that it's in the contract. And I didn't need that confirmation, but some other people did. And where we stand now is that what you're seeing is, and this is what I wrote in the Daily News yesterday, was John Harbaugh talked to people about making big changes. He's promised to turn the Giants around. If he waited on some of the big news and headlines coming out now, it'd
right.
be too late, right? So he fought for those things and for that power.
Right.
And otherwise, he wouldn't have been standing there in front of us on Tuesday. And mm-hmm. once he got it, he had to wield that power immediately now. And again, it's... You don't want people to lose their jobs.
No.
You don't want people to lose their livelihoods.
But the franchise was broken, too.
Like, we're talking about
and the fish side, like I was saying to Big Mac before the show today, you know, people get this strange idea. Like, we feel bad when people get fired. We do. We have empathy for people that have to go find a new job. You know, whether they're 30, 40, 50. Obviously, the older you get, the more you feel for them because what are they going to do if you're a 55-year-old guy? That's the only thing you've ever done.
Right.
So it's not that we don't have empathy. It's not that John Harbaugh, I'm sure, doesn't have empathy
right.
for making tough decisions. But, you know, there's a flip side to that also. You're not a part of a winning franchise. You have to win. It's sports.
Yes.
It's cutthroat. And the reality is that none of us and none of them were ever guaranteed your job for life.
Exactly.
It doesn't come with that contract. You don't, it's not like Omert and you take a blood oath and it's like, you know, now you're one of us. Coast
right.
of it's not, that's not what it is.
Right.
Right.
Right. So yes, it sucks.
Right.
People lose their jobs. No one likes that. But at some point you have to make tough decisions. If the goal is to recognize that the last dozen years have been an embarrassment.
100%.
Like the New York Giants have been poorly run. We all have great respect for John Maurer and the Maurer family. An argument could be made that John Maurer in the last decade has been no better than Woody Johnson. You can make that argument and not be laughed out of the room. Mm-hmm. And that's why when you're going to bring in a guy that's got at least, you know, 18 years of success, albeit not Super Bowl success, but 18 years of competent football, a lot more winning than losing, right? Two different types of quarterbacks, two different styles of football. He adapted his coaching to a new talent. He went from a pure pocket passer in Joe Flacco, who's not going to the Hall of Fame, to a two-time MVP who does not play like Joe Flacco and figured it out.
Right.
When you do that, you have to take ownership of the fact that he might know better than we do.
Yes, and the one character that doesn't belong and doesn't fit in the way this puzzle is evolving is Shane.
Right.
Him not being here would complete the turnover, the changeover. The fact that, like, someone was just texting me on the way in saying they're not firing him, at least not right now. He's going to stick around. I don't know how long. Everyone told me throughout this process, they said, listen, the way that it works in Baltimore, it's hard conversations. Mm. John Harbaugh is the kind of person who believes, as I do, that conflict can be a good thing.
Sure.
When he gets into knockdown, drag-out football debates with Joe Shane, he will realize he is not speaking to his equal. And that is not just me talking. That is people who know more football than I do telling me that. Right.
Wow. Now, so Joe Shane will not be long for the job.
I was just going to ask you about where we can view him as. You believe there's a chance that he is not going to be long for this job with John Harbaugh.
Well, so he has one more year left in his contract. Right. I've seen reports out there that he could even be extended, and I poked around on that. Somebody said it could be just like a 1 year so he doesn't go in as a lame duck. But that, you know, my understanding, what I'm told reliably by people, is that eventually it will play out that he is gone. Because to Craig's point, and this is what made me think of Shane right there, if you're going to acknowledge, as the Mara family has, it's time to shake things up. Like Chris Mara, I thought, did a great job speaking to us at the press conference.
The most I've ever seen him speak about Giants football. Definitely. He's been there for 30 years.
Definitely. And I thought his point about, you know, it was interesting how he said it, but he said, I have this book of all these coordinators. I flipped through it. Who's the hot next name? And then I said, I don't know who any of these guys are, but I know who John Harbaugh is, and I know we need credibility.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that really jumped out at me. But if that's going to be your thought process, which I think we can all agree with is sound, where does Joe fit there in terms of the results?
Right.
Just the results.
Right.
We're just looking at the results.
Well, you know what Joe Shane needs? So. Joe Shane needs the Maras to settle the Pagulas so he can get promoted and become president of football operations.
Well, the Pagulas are making the Maras look really good right now. Right?
I mean, listen, but to your point, like the win losses, you can't argue. I agree with that. But we just talked about, because I know you've been critical of him. Almost everyone has. So have I. I've called for his firing as well. But at the same time, we talked about what enticed John Harbaugh to come here, right? Like, you do have to at least give him somewhat credit. I know there's the video of Brian Daboll wanting Jackson Dart. He drafted Jackson Dart. He put together a roster good enough to entice John Harbaugh to come here as his number one choice. And John Harbaugh clearly at the press conference, whether it's just lip service or whatever, was very adamant about the relationships with Joe, working with Joe. Like, what level of credit do we give him? He led the search to bring John Harbaugh here. Like, what level of credit do we give him for all of this? And, like, I'm surprised to hear you say that automatically we're already thinking that he's on shaky footing.
Well, I think his track record hasn't been strong from a win-loss perspective, from a draft perspective. You are absolutely right that technically Jackson Dart's on his resume. Mm-hmm. Brian Burns is on his resume, right?
That was a great trade.
It's not without wins, right?
Sure.
Even though Leonard Williams might go win a Super Bowl, that's not going to look very good.
And love.
At the time, the return on the Leonard Williams trade, right? A second-round pick.
Seemed good.
High second round. I mean, you use it on a safety. You might not even be on the team next year, but that, you know. Right. But the bottom line is, I think, yes, Shane was involved. I think giving him a ton of credit for the courtship of John Harbaugh is way overblown.
I agree with you on that.
Chris Mara led this. He told us he led it, right? And even at the end, you know, you saw some people said that at the end, Shane recused himself so that it got done. In other words, the real people who were making the final decision, the real people with the power, got in the room and figured it out.
We're talking to Pat Leonard, Daily News, obviously covers the Giants and the NFL as well. Did you think that Joe Shane was nervous at that press conference?
Very nervous.
Because when he did the introduction, and he's obviously been through the wars, and he's dealt with the New York media for, you know, 4+ years now, and, you know, Buffalo's a little bit different, but, you know, he's seasoned in talking in front of cameras and microphones, and he was out of breath, and he seemed nervous. Like, he did not come across. Now, he was different with Evan and Tiki and Sean later in the day. And I'm sure he was different when you guys kind of get you more of your one-on-ones or smaller groups with him. I'm sure he was. But when he was on that stage in front of 200 people and he knows he's going to introduce the guy that's probably going to fire him one day. He seemed nervous. Am I wrong on that?
He was nervous. Joe is very good at messaging. That's his greatest strength.
Yeah.
Is controlling the narrative, shaping the narrative. But he knows how challenging a day that was for him. Why? Number one, it's public knowledge that he now doesn't really have any power.
Right.
Like right now, Harbaugh's making all these changes. It's not Harbaugh and Joe Shane making changes. It's right. John Harbaugh making changes. He's not running it by.
Now, do you think Harbaugh is calling Joe and saying, hey, Shane, I need you to fire those three people? Or you think John's doing it himself?
John's doing it himself.
He is. Like, he's picking up the phone saying, listen, it's not going to work out for you. You know, peace out.
I mean, I don't know how every individual won. I know he's meeting face-to-face. He is that type of person. Mm-hmm. But here's the other thing about Shane. The background of this, remember, even though, obviously, this all goes so fast, but we, a year ago, were sitting here in a joint press conference, and Joe Shane and Dable sitting arm-in-arm for all the cameras, like, yeah, everyone's saying that our relationship is on the fritz, and that couldn't be more overblown, and having planted questions in the press conference so they can, you know, say what they want to say and all that. And what happened was, let's just say this. Joe Shane's collaboration with Brian Dable looked a lot like Brandon Beans did at the end with Sean McDermott.
Stabbed him in the back.
Which is, you're my guy, you're my guy, you're my guy. And then when push comes to shove, it's like going into the last year. And believe me, I'm not a fan of what Brian Dable was as a head coach. But it is just the truth. Again, it's just the truth. And you don't want people to lose their jobs. But it's the truth that going into their final year, when it felt like both of them should have been fired already, it became less Joe Shane talking about us and we and more talking about me and him.
When did he start stabbing him in the back?
Well, it was just the conversation about where do we go from here and what's the blame for 2024 became less about here's how we're going to address it and back channel conversations that Dable became aware.
Right.
Oh,
is there any truth to the story that I heard that after the collapse in Denver, Shane went to the Maras and said something to the effect of, told you. Something along those lines.
The story I heard was that John Mara, after that game, wanted to fire Dable right then.
Right.
And
actually, the girl with the fake lips had that story. She trumped all you guys.
Right, so
yeah.
When that was reported,
yeah.
I did not know anything about it, and I didn't weigh in. About a month later, I did write in a story in the Daily News, I said that report by that person on social media was true.
Yeah. I apologize. I forget her name, but she took a beating because she has like injections in her lips or something.
And then,
but she had it right.
She was right.
So John Mara, after the embarrassing collapse in Denver, wanted to fire Dable when they came back to Teterboro, wherever they land, and wanted to fire him on the spot.
Yeah. And then
who talked him out of it?
He was talked out of it. So Chris Mara has been more involved.
Right, because of John's health issues.
Tim McDonald, his nephew.
Right.
Is very involved. So, you know, those are people that he trusts that he speaks to.
By the way, it's the right time to fire. If you're going to fire him anyway, that's the time to fire him. Like, it's a terrible collapse. Yeah.
Also, here's the thing. Like, as much as we criticize, and for good reason, what the mistakes they have made over the years, that's a moment where when you hear that story and you know it's true and it's confirmed, you say, John knows what he's watching.
Right.
You know? John knows, like, because he cares more about the Giants than anybody.
Right.
You know, he lives and breathes the Giants. He's watching that and saying, there is no way this can represent me, can represent us, can represent our paying fans anymore. I give him credit for that, even though it took too long.
Let me ask you a question, because you bring up John Mara. Chris and I, Big Mac and I, had an argument, you know, when the horrible thing was happening about how much John Mara, you know, cares about the fans, all that stuff. It's not worth getting into again. But I was just thinking, you know, I still can't believe that John Mara allowed Hard Knocks to air that video back 2 years ago now when they were debating what to do with Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. I thought that might have been one of the most embarrassing moments in the history of the Giants and the Maurer family stewardship of the Giants. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I still cannot figure out, because they had editorial control over that.
Yes.
And they could say, you cannot air this. And they allowed that to air, which I thought was embarrassing for Joe Shane.
Right.
And obviously put John Mara in a bad light with the fan base. Have you ever talked to anyone about the decision to let that air?
Yeah, so obviously the rest of the league has said they're never going to do that version of Hard Knocks because of that.
Right.
But my joke, I always tell people, I'm like, no, you'd be okay. You're not the Giants. You know, you'll probably be fine.
Just don't let the Jets do it.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. Wouldn't even go to air.
I mean, the Jets actually flew, what's the actor's name? The Hard Knock
Liv
guy.
Shriver.
They flew Liv Schreiber into Florham Park in a helicopter because Aaron Rodgers was here.
Yeah.
So go ahead, sorry.
No, I mean, that's a difficult spot because the Giants and a lot of these teams, it's like you you have either been criticized for, like in the Giants case, it was meddling and it was concealing how we actually operate.
Right.
And it's, you know, complaints about access. And so in their minds, they're saying like, okay, well, you know, let's open the doors. Let's show people a little bit. And again, Joe Shane being the type of guy who doesn't mind being on camera, and you know, neither do I. I'm not criticizing him for that, you know? But being the type of guy who didn't mind being the star of the show.
Sure.
And I think that's where it leaned. It leaned towards like, you know, we're the Giants. We're proud to be here. You're never always thinking about maybe how something's going to be received. And really, to your point, Craig, as much as certain things happened on that show that could be debated or people could mock this or that, it was that one scene.
Yep.
Right? It was that one conversation. If that wasn't in there, people would view them and view Shane and view a lot of things in a different light.
And was Dable, it felt like even the year before when Mara made that the comment about I better be happier this time next year, even then, listening to him, it sounded like he was much more in line with Shane than he was Dable. Was that like an early on, before this season, before the losing, before everything else, even before drafting Jackson Dart, it felt like he was much more in line with the vision Joe Shane had and had an issue more with the coach.
Yes.
Is that fair heading into the season as well?
Yes, John said to us at one of the owners' meetings that he did not necessarily view them as a package deal.
Really?
And that was the first indication that it could head that way. Now, the one very extremely valid part about maybe being a little bit sicker of the coach than the GM was in that second season, Dable was completely off the rails. You know, there was the Martindale dynamic, but there was the Kafka dynamic and how he treated Mike, which was absolutely ridiculous and unacceptable. There was, as I first reported, Joe Shane literally getting on the headsets for four games to monitor how Dable was dealing with the coaching staff. And so from an organizational standpoint, it became a, not only are we losing games, but this guy's embarrassing us.
Yeah.
Right? And so that was the difference in the judgment of Shane and Dable. But again, that's also the advantage a GM, and not just Shane, the advantage a GM can have over a coach is like what you see in Buffalo.
Right.
You could be sitting next to the owner, giving him rationale on this and that and why that didn't work and why did Shane rush three there? I have no idea.
Right.
I'm going to go find this out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When meanwhile, like eight of the 11 guys on the field wouldn't start on any other team in the league, and that's you.
Right.
But no one's telling the owner that because the coach is down there trying to win the game and he's losing it, right? But, so that's kind of the weird dynamic of the league.
Talking to Pat Leonard, before we let you go, you know, one of the arguments we have, and there's no right answer to it, so I'm not going to hold you accountable if it doesn't pan out, is how good the current roster is.
Ooh,
all right,
question,
and the, you know, there's a lot of Giant fans that think because of so many close games and you know fourth quarter collapses that just getting John Harbaugh here, the New York Giants are 9-win team, 10-win team. Like I've heard, and you get things crazier than that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be for the first time in my life the voice of reason. Today, as we sit here, the New York Giants still have the fourth best quarterback in that division, and they're the fourth best team in that division, understanding that Washington is going to overhaul their entire roster because they're very old and they're all expiring contracts, but they have the quarterback, right?
Right.
So give Giant fans, again, I don't know who they're going to sign in free agency. Obviously, the draft has to happen. Can Giant fans legitimately look at this team with Harbaugh here if the draft goes well? And free agency goes well. Doesn't have to be home runs, but well.
Mm-hmm.
Is there enough talent for them to win 10 games next year?
I would say more like 2027 than 2026 for that.
Got it.
Especially because Malik is the guy.
And his injury is worse than originally reported, right?
Yeah, and then Shane the other day came out and said he's going to be ready for the start of training camp. Malik told us he doesn't even think he's going to be ready for week one. I tend to believe the very honest so far Malik.
And by the way, Malik, it was an October injury.
Yeah.
And if the injury was a garden variety ACL, it's a year.
Yeah,
right. Some guys come back a little bit better than that. But it's a year. It's a year injury. But Malik was saying, I maybe should have said it, or someone said, that when they went in to fix the ACL,
it was
worse than what they thought.
Yeah, it was more complicated.
Right.
And just based on the timeline when he had the surgery, the fact it was more complicated, even if he's back on the field, typically takes a guy, like he could play a fair amount of football in 26, but not be the same type of player.
Right.
And so they might not be able to surround Jackson Dart with enough extra now to just take that leap this year. I will say this, though, on the personnel front, I think that is one of the most important underrated talking points here. As we talk about who has final say, Shane or Harbaugh, why that's important in addition to the changes in these departments is he's going to pick their players. Shane even said himself, John has already told me he wants size. He comes from the AFC North. He wants big players,
right.
Tight ends, offensive linemen, D linemen, running backs, fullbacks. This is what they're going to hit. Like, the Giants have drafted five offensive linemen since the start of the 2022 draft. Wow. The Ravens have drafted nine. Double. Right. So what you're going to see, I think, is a brand of physical ball that if you're a Giants fan, I think you're going to be able to, in 2026, win or lose, you're going to be able to walk out of the stadium, out of MetLife Stadium, and keep tailgating in the parking lot,
right?
Because you're going to want to hang around, because you're going to see some good, you're going to see some attitude, you're going to see guys running to the ball, and the guys who don't run to the ball are going to get cut on Monday. They're not going to stay on the roster because somebody who's still in the building drafted him three years ago.
Got it. Hi to SNY. I appreciate it. I know the Mets are going to be talking here in a few minutes. We'll get back to them in a second. I guess final thing for you. It's not even about for me at least. I know there's a clause in the contract the Jets and Giants have, which starting, I think, next year, either one can enact the clause, and whoever does it first gets it, that they can roll out of MetLife Stadium. Mm. The New York Giants are not leaving MetLife Stadium. Do you think there's a chance that we will have a one-team building in the next 5 years or no?
I don't know the answer to that, Craig. I wish I did, but I'm not going to pretend like I do. I don't know the answer to that.
I know the Giants are leaving. I know that. Good, Chris.
I just wanted to ask if we had any, besides some of the obvious names, any early indications on coordinators, like where Harbaugh might be going with some of his staff. I know they're going through extensive searches through the coaching staff now, defensively especially. I did want to just say any news on my guy, Carmen Brasella, who I don't know if you noticed, but I met him.
They shopped together.
We shopped together at Casual Mail XL.
Oh, yeah?
I ran into him at Casual Mail XL. Yeah. As we're both shot, he was going on vacation, and I was doing picture day here at the fence. So we were both getting something new. But
wearing the same shirt?
We were both shopping in the same area. I was like, I know you. You're wearing the.
He's got to be the first guy to ever recognize the offensive line coach in a department.
Well, he's done an incredible job.
I was told he's coming back.
He might come back, but besides him, I'm having some fun with that. But I do think he should be back. But outside of that, any early names besides Monken and some of the obvious names for coordinators? Or is that too early to get a good read on?
Brasillo's the coach on the current staff that I heard had the best chance to stay.
Good.
Charlie Bullen, who's a Joe Shane guy. Have heard that he could stick around in what role we will see. Defensive coordinator, I've heard, is either going to be most likely going to be Anthony Weaver from Miami or Denard Wilson from the Titans. Just got reported that Saleh is officially not retaining Denard Wilson. The Giants wanted to hire him when Martindale resigned and they hired Bowen, but Wilson looked around and he said, this could be a one-year job.
Right.
I'm inheriting somebody else's staff. Let's wait and see. Be one of those guys. Monken, what's encouraging about him is not just he coached Lamar, all that.
Yeah.
It's that he runs tempo. And Jackson Dart grew up on tempo with Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. So it's actually a fit, right? It's not just like, a big name that you know who's interviewing for head coaching jobs. Heard Zach Orr, the Ravens DC, could actually be the linebackers coach coming here. So the deal is, like, Harbaugh has a lot of money to spend on his staff.
Right.
He's going to be able to bring a lot of guys. Special teams coordinator, they blocked Chris Horton from interviewing. Still a chance he could get released from Baltimore, depending who they hire. They could end up hiring Randy Brown, second in command there. And then various names. T. Martin, their quarterback's coach, could end up coming as well. Okay. Training room, strength room, video department. These are areas of the building that are,
Can we expect some Ravens players in free agency? A lot of these times when coaches come in trying to install a new culture, you'll see them bringing a bunch of guys that they've worked with.
Rex did it with the Jets. Right.
You come in, you have a couple of culture guys who know how everything runs, how everything is done, what the coach expects. Can we expect some Ravens in free agency?
Yes. And if you go to overthecap.com, everybody else, and you sort that free agent list, you can figure out pretty fast who you might want on the team.
Yeah.
But the three names that stick out to me are Tyler Linderbaum, on the offensive line, center, and then as well as Charlie Kohler. He's a tight end who played a lot more snaps than you would expect, like a third tight end on the Ravens behind Likely and Andrews to play. But again, they want big. They want the run game. And Patrick Ricard, the fullback, is going to be reintroduced.
Oh, Likely. Giants have a fullback?
They have a fullback. His name's Cam Scadaboo.
Right. But, Monkett's personnel usage, if you look, a lot of 11 personnel with three wide receivers for the Giants over the recent years. But the personnel-wise, what Baltimore likes to do, they go running back heavy.
Right.
They got the fullback. They got the three tight ends. Yeah. So those are players
like
to watch right now.
Seems like they didn't do that in big spots. I saw Derrick Henry on the sideline in the fourth quarter of a one-score game. And I'm saying to myself, Todd Monken doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Is it too early to ask those questions yet, right? Like, what are you doing in the last drive, Todd?
I want to ask one, too, because Lamar and the running quarterback. And the one thing I will say, the one narrative that really bothered me a lot this year is that, Jackson Dart was constantly put into harm's way.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Like, I feel like it's... I think it's a bit unfair. I know Brian Daboll, we said, had a lot of issues, but like the idea, you know, he's putting the kid at risk because he needs to win games. Like any coach in the NFL doesn't need to win games. But like that's the one thing. We still expect Jackson Dart. Like I know there was a lot of stories, especially after the concussion. Like I know he wants to be a running quarterback. It's part of his game. Is that going to be something like the Giants are afraid to do? Or is Jackson Dart going to be the player with Monken or whoever where we expect him to be a part of the run game, design runs, all of that?
Yeah, so what I didn't like about that was I thought that the leak about that came from inside the building, right? That's what I don't like about that. I think Jackson Dart, you got to let him play. And also if you're going to draft him because he's a mobile quarterback with all these skills,
right,
you don't put him into the league and 2 months in say, by the way, stop doing what you do best, right? Yeah. That's not good coaching. It's not good management. It's not good structure. John Harbaugh is smart enough to understand he can't try to turn Jackson Dart into something he's not. Todd Monken will be smart enough to understand that as well. I think that's additional reason to lean into the running game. The Giants did run the ball better this year.
Yeah.
Especially like that was the offensive line's biggest improvement, right? Mm-hmm. Moving the line of scrimmage in the running game. And then Scattaboo Tracy, I would expect him to add another running back on top of that. That's not good enough. But yes, certainly they are going to. He didn't sit down with Jackson Dart and say, I like the guy, but not the player. He didn't say, I like the player, but not the guy. He liked both. They're going to work with what he is and not try to turn him into something he isn't. In fact, I thought they almost ruined Dart to an extent in those couple games. Kafka took over. I like Kafka kind of as an offensive play caller, but they tried to turn him in those couple games, like right. the New England game.
Yeah.
They tried to make him a passer who runs instead of a runner who throws.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is he's both, right? Stop putting him in a box.
Yeah.
Let him play.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's also got a hot girlfriend. Pat, good seeing you. That's Pat Leonard, covers the Giants and the NFL for the Daily News. He also has a podcast. What's the name of the podcast?
Talking Ball with Pat Leonard. Talking had Devin Ball. Hester
yeah.
on today.
Yeah, Devin Hester. Hall of Famer, Devin Hester. Did you know that? You probably didn't know that.
Played a year for John Harbaugh.
That's why I'm here. As well. I'm here for the sports.
Pat's also hot with his picks. He's doing quite well.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. You're jinxing my NFC championship.
Don't follow Pat's picks. Save your money. Good seeing you, Pat. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Pat, we'll take a quick break. I know that David Stearns is talking right about now. So we will take care of that and get back to the Mets and to the fact that they've actually got a starting pitcher and a lot more, including the lies that have been told about my beloved New York Knicks. There was no players-only meeting. Never took place. Lies about my Knicks coming up after this.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.